Welcome to the Pwncast of Rock, Episode 1. I'm Dan.
And I'm Julia.
And welcome to the place where the music never ends. All right, so since this is the first episode of the Pwncast, sorry, we like to call it Pwncast, but then apparently we found out that it's Pwncast, and well, let's just say it right from now on. I'm Dan, and my partner here is Julia, and we're from the PFW Radio. I'm a student at Temple University. I've studied a little bit of music, so I'm kind of the technical person. Julia is just the resident Alex fan.
Oh, come on. You know, I like more Wizard Rock fans besides just the Remus Lupins, although I cannot deny that I do have a certain affinity for the Remus Lupins, but I like a whole lot of other things, too. It's not just Alex.
Well, yes, but Alex is the only one you kind of go crazy over.
Well, yes, that's true. That is true. But don't tell any other Wizard Rockers I said that, because they'll all get upset that knowing that I don't go absolutely nuts for them.
Well, Julia does go absolutely nuts over you. She just loves Alex.
No, it's not. It's different. I fangirl Alex. Like, I have a ridiculous fangirl crush on him, and I don't have ridiculous fangirl crushes on the other Wizard Rockers. So it's really... But that's not to say that I don't love you all to pieces. It's just... I'm going to shut up now.
Anyway, do you want to say anything else about yourself, Julia?
Okay. I have a bachelor's degree in English from the University of Connecticut. I graduated in May. And starting at the January, I'm going to get started on my master's in secondary education so as to fulfill my lifelong goal of being John Keating from Dead Poets Society.
Nice.
I love Wizard Rock to the high heavens, and it makes me very, very happy, and I'm really, really excited to share my love of Wizard Rock with you guys. So hopefully Pwncast will be fun.
Just like you shared it with me. I've only been
just like I shared it with Dan.
I've only been a fan for 2 months, and already I'm a hardcore fan. Thanks to Julia.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure. Right.
So our first song is going to be Expelliarmus Kid by Peeve. When we were starting up the PFW radio, we came across Hogwarts Trainwreck, who then posted a bulletin about this band called Peeved. So we checked it out, and the music was just amazing. Expelliarmus Kid is a little bit different from most Wizard Rock, but I'm sure you guys are going to love it. It's a little bit of a Western. Hold tight.
Yeah, it's really funny. It's hilarious. It's about Draco and Harry having like a showdown in the Old West. It's pretty damn hilarious, if I may say so myself.
And of course, like in the movie, the only spell Harry knows is Expelliarmus.
Expelliarmus.
Now some were proud about the Black Mountain Hills of Dakota. There once lived a man. Now, let me tell you something, bud. This was a real bad son of a gun. Let me tell you that down here. And this fella, he went by the name of Malfoy.
Malfoy was the dark lord of the town. His Hawthorne pistol shot the sheriff down. The townsfolk were his plaything like a quaffle. He even dared to not pay at the brothel. But some declared that a day would come when Malfoy would have to turn and run. When this rival would turn up, no one could say. But now he's here, the time has come, and it's today. He's the fastest in the West. So much better than the rest. Skipped his apparition test. Expelliarmus Kid. He rides a blazing saddle across the plains. It's lightning fast and fireball is her name. ever ready to file a stick-up or train robbery, ever aided by his sidekick, Three Socks Dobby. Whether near or far,
it's Billy Armistead.
And he's got a way cool scar,
it's Billy Armistead.
Just don't let him fly your car,
Expelling your skin.
He moseyed into town around high noon as Malfoy stepped out of the saloon. The onlookers all ran and hid in fear as the kid's voice rang out loud and clear.
So you're gonna pull your wand or whistle, Pixie?
Malfoy sneered.
Yeah, come on then, Potter, try and hex me.
You can walk away, Draco, don't be a fool.
But in that instant, Draco's hand had twitched, and they began to duel.
Stupefy.
Expelliarmus.
Crucio.
Expelliarmus.
Protego.
Expelliarmus.
Avada Kedavra.
Expelliarmus.
His hand and flew up high, and spinning wildly arced across the sky. As it hit the ground, the battle had been won. So Draco took his only option and turned to run. He's the fastest in the West. So much better than the rest. A horn tail tattooed on his chest.
Expelliarmus.
Through the highs and through the lows.
Expelliarmus.
Defeating all his foes.
Expelliarmus.
With the only spell he knows.
Expelliarmus.
S-N-O-G-G-I-N-G. It's Draco and Harry. Ministry. S-N-O-G-G-I-N-G. It's straight going Harry, sitting in a tree. F-A-L-L-I-N-G.
All right, that was Draco and Harry by the Whomping Willows.
Yeah, we love that song.
Yes, I have to admit, I'm a big fan of that song, and you'll never find me like anything else that has anything to do with Slash. I just happen to love that song. I don't know why. It's just amazing.
Because the Whomping Willows are just plain awesome. There's just no getting around the fact that Matt Giacomo is quite simply amazing. Oh, yeah. And we love him. And he has a great sense of humor, so he's awesome. Actually, you know, the cool thing about that song is that it's actually not about canon Draco and Harry. I don't know how many of you know this, but if you've ever seen the Whomping Willows live, at least in the early days, he used to explain about this song that it's actually about Draco and the Malfoys and Harry and the Potters, and that they were always writing songs about each other. And finally, Matt was the only one who realized that they really just need to go into a dark corner and make out rather than, write songs about how they want to kick each other in various body parts.
Yes, and so and I'm sure Matt might know something when he talks about them being in a tree since, you know, he is a tree.
He is a tree. But he's such a nice tree, but don't tell him that because, you know, he's got a reputation to protect.
Well, yeah. See, he has to keep up his brute mentality.
Exactly.
If you're wondering what we're going to be doing in the podcast, this is not going to be our format every week. After our first two episodes, which are just going to be pretty much our favorite songs.
Cody is going to join us next week to discuss her favorite songs as well. Cody is a friend of ours and she's wonderful. You'll love her just as much as we do.
Yep. So we're going to be doing expositions on characters, discussing some of the of what makes up the characters in canon, and then play some of the songs that actually relate to them from the Wizarding world. We've got a great lineup, great interviews, great shows planned for you. Not every song in the world of Wizard Rock is totally based on a character. A great example of this is Into the Pensieve, which is a new band. You might want to check them out. Their song is called Imperious When I Left You. Enjoy.
Days go by, I sit and wonder why you never flew my chimney or send your out. Days go by, what could have happened? We were closer than Miss Norris and Mr. Filch. But the hardest thing about it is that there's a space of time when nothing seems to happen in my mind. I don't remember what I said or what I did to ever hurt you. I was imperious when I left you. I want you back. I wouldn't have said the things I did. I wouldn't cruciate your sister if my occlumency lessons had done their job. When you told me that I incendiated your dress robes and killed your owl. So surprised that you left me. I didn't mean to snog your house up. I didn't mean to run away. But the hardest thing about it is that there's a space of time when nothing seems to happen in my mind. I don't remember what I said or what I did to ever hurt you. I was imperious when I left you. I want you back. I wouldn't have said the things I did. I wouldn't cruciate your sister if my occlumency lessons had done their job. I want you back. Thank you. hardest thing about it is that there's a space of time where nothing seems to happen in my mind. I don't remember what I said or what I did to ever hurt you. I was imperious when I left you. I want you back. I wouldn't have said the things I did. I wouldn't crucio your sister if my occupancy lessons had done their job. I want you back.
Oh,
Again, that was Train to Nowhere by Oliver Boyd and the Rememberalls. We really, really love them. And Dan especially. Dan is to Christian of Oliver Boyd as I am to Alex of the Remus Lupins.
Oh, no.
He fanboys him.
No, I do not.
Yes, you do.
I have a huge respect for him as a musician. I do not go there and like hang up pictures of him on my wall.
I respect him as a musician.
I am not a fangirl.
Okay. I have no pictures of Alex Carpenter on my wall. I just want that for the record. There are no pictures of Alex Carpenter anywhere on my walls.
But if you had posters, they would be.
If Wizard Rock posters existed, absolutely. But since if they do exist and anybody would like to send me some, please do so. However, until that happens, no. Okay. I just want to state that for the record. No Alex Carpenter posters on my wall. Okay, just saying.
But I will admit that I have a huge respect for Oliver Boyd and Christian as a musician.
Okay,
let me ask you a question, Julia. What makes rock so awesome?
Well, that really depends on who you ask. If you ask me, it's the fact that there are so many awesome, awesome people in this community. I don't know if any of you guys have ever met any Wizard Rockers or Wizard Rock fans, but in the short time that I've been a Wizard Rock fan, which has actually been since Phoenix Rising, so that was in May, I've had the pleasure of meeting numerous Wizard Rockers, numerous Wizard Rock fans, and I just love each and every one of them to pieces. So the fact that there are so many awesome people and that they all have so many, things to say. I mean, even now, it's been, what, 6-7 months since Deathly Hallows came out, and Wizard Rock is still going strong. Everybody still has something to say. New songs are coming out all the time.
Awesome new bands. We just found a couple last night, actually. If you want to check out a really, really good new band, it's the Brothers Black. If you want to find the MySpace, it's www.myspace.com/thebrothersblackofficial. They're really good.
They are insanely good. I absolutely recommend them to all of you.
And hopefully we'll be playing songs from them shortly for you guys.
Hopefully. The broadcasting law requires that we obtain permission from everyone. And though we asked the Brothers Black, we haven't heard from them yet. But
Actually, we did? Yep.
I just
heard from them this morning. We got them.
Woohoo!
Yep.
That is exciting. I am thrilled.
So what makes rock?
We only got their permission this morning, so as soon as we can download their songs and get them up and on the radio for you, we will have that done, and maybe we'll play their song on a future podcast.
What makes rock so awesome to me? I'm a little bit different from Julia. I love the fact that rock is a community, but coming from a Muggle music fan's perspective, the fact that there's music that's just so good that's about Harry Potter and the stuff that I'm obsessed with is what makes it so awesome to me. I mean, nowhere else you're going to find this sort of thing in a fandom. And that just makes it the most amazing thing that I've ever seen or heard.
Yes. But the point is that you're right. I mean, the quality of music that we get from these bands is insane. Like, a lot of these bands are really, really good and could probably make it as a, as a regular, like, mainstream band.
Right.
You know, like, they are just that good.
But they're committed to the cause, which makes it even better.
Yes. You like that most Wizard Rock bands don't want to be mainstream music bands. That makes us kind of happy. We like our little community.
Yep. And the other fact that makes it so awesome is that Harry Potter is so mutable that everybody has their different take on a song. Take, for example, our next song that we're going to be playing for you, Commonwealth Green Dragon by the Quavo Kids. Who else could write a drinking song about a dragon?
No one that I know of.
Enjoy.
People say that dragons are bloody dangerous, but I tell you there's a breed that you can really trust. They nest in higher mountains where a reservation lies that gives them preservation and saves the scaly hides. Chinese fireballs will burn your butt. Hungarian horntails will pass your speed. Swedish short stouts will eat your grandma. But you can have a pint with the common Welsh green. In the Triwizard tournament, it was quite a sight. When the green saw the French girl, it didn't put up a fight. Fleur de liqueur ran straight up and smashed the egg. And the giant gentle dragon didn't even scorch her legs. Chinese fireballs will burn your buttholes. Hungarian horntails rip out your spleen. Swedish short stouts will eat your grandma. But you can have a pint with the common Welsh green. The green is the best, the sweetest dragon that I have ever met. Hagrid, you can bet, would give his left arm just to have it as a pet. So the moral of the story is that you can always find some things of you that's evil that turn out to be just fine. There are far worse things than dragons. For example, there's this boy, a slimy little weasel named Draco Malfoy. Chinese fireballs will burn your butthole. Hungarian horntails rip out your spleen. Swedish short snouts will reach your grandma. But you can have a fight with the common Welsh green.
I got new glasses and I thought they were cool. Ollie pointed me past by. I said, don't I look fine? She said, no, ugly Myrtle, you look more like a fool. I went to the bathroom on the second floor. What was Olive thinking? Now this is war. So I started to bawl and ran into a stall. And I heard a boy talking just outside of the door. Bathroom, you're really creepy. You're not a girl and you don't belong here. I don't understand you. Stop speaking in tongues. Stop, pair of yellow eyes. And then I died. I don't know what happened during that attack. My body seized up, everything went black. Then I floated away. Sucked, so then I came back. That evil witch wouldn't get away. I haunted all the Hornby every night and day. Till the ministry called, oh, and they were appalled. I was sent back to Hogwarts where I am today. Get out of my bathroom, you're really creepy. You're not a girl and you don't belong here. I don't understand you. Stop speaking in tongues, stop hair. Stop speaking in tongues of hell, yellow eyes. Now I'm voting Myrtle and Olive in a toilet. Olive warned me, God once was coming to her. As you know, nothing's been the same ever since the day I
was And Then I Died by the Mooning Myrtles. We love the Mooning Myrtles. Let's just get
absolutely.
Back in November, we went to the Rock Philly show. I live in Philadelphia, so it wasn't too big of a trek for me, but Julia came all the way from Connecticut for that.
It's true. I schlepped in from Connecticut, and it took us about 4 hours to drive down to Philly and 5 hours to drive back because we hit some traffic in New York. But it was absolutely worth it because there are a few things in the world that are more fun than live Wizard Rock. If any of you have a chance to see any Wizard Rock bands live, even if you have to drive 4 hours, absolutely go for it. It's the most amazing thing ever.
But it did, it did almost turn out not to be worth it, didn't it? You know the whole story more than I do, but it was almost canceled, wasn't it?
It was almost canceled. What happened was that the show was supposed to be at a church, and the show was called for 3 p.m. And so my friend and I, who drove down together, had got there at around 2, and we found a crowd of people, including some Wizard Rockers, standing by the sidewalk in front of the church, kind of wondering, standing around, and we approached, and we realized that the church manager didn't know that there was supposed to be a show there, and she was just going nuts and screaming and yelling, and she really looked like she was about to start throwing things at us, and we were freaking out. And I was standing there talking to Lauren from the Moaning Myrtles, and she was like, "Well, you know, if we don't have a show in the church, I mean, you know, we could always just play on the street." But fortunately, yes, it did not come to that. And I have to say, I was really excited because I was wearing a short skirt. Not that short, but I was wearing my school robes. So I was wearing a skirt, and it was pretty cold. It was right before Thanksgiving. And so as a result, you know, November in Philadelphia, it's pretty cold. So Matt Majacomo, the Whomping Willows, came, and Matt saved the day. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I do know that he personally shelled out the money to rent the space for the show, and as a result, we ended up having to pay to get in, which we weren't supposed to have to do, but for that, I'm sure every single person handed over their $8 very willingly.
Majacomo is a superhero.
Matt Majacomo is a superhero. Matt flew in and saved the day. And as a result, we got to see, let me see, who played that day? The Sugar Quills, the Chocolate Frogs, Sugar Quills, the Chocolate Frogs, Butterbeer Experience, Snidget, the Chinese Chocolate Cabbages, the Moaning Myrtles, and the Whomping Willows. And awesome. For that, it was absolutely worth the $8 and the standing out in the cold for an hour and a half and the 4 hours getting down there and the 5 hours getting back.
Julia and I already knew about the Whomping Willows and the Moaning Myrtles. I mean, we already knew that they were awesome. We found a couple other great bands there. The Chocolate Frogs, I'd really suggest you guys checking them out too. It's
Maddie and Mike.
Yep, Maddie and Mike, and they're pretty much a guitar-based band, but they're really, really good. You should check them out. The other band.
About the Chocolate Frogs.
Yep.
A quick thing about the Chocolate Frogs is that their music is amazing on their CD, but as with all Wizard Rock bands, it's much better live. So if you hear the CD and you're not like totally enamored, see them live. I promise it'll change your opinion of them.
The other band we found there was the Butterbeer Experience. Lena is great. Ooh, I mean, she got up there and she did this one song. Everybody in the audience cried.
She cried.
But of course, she put on on a happy face and said, "It's not a sad song. Don't cry." We love
Lena. Yeah, except that it really was a very sad song. It made everyone weep.
But anyway, we love Lena. Man.
We love Lena. She has such an amazing voice. It's like her voice is just classic, and she just belts out her songs. And gosh, she's so amazing. I love her.
And we want to share that song.
Dan and I are going to see her live in February.
Oh, yes, we will.
Woohoo!
Yep. Since Julia came down all the way to Philadelphia, I'm going to be headed up all the way to New Haven, Connecticut.
We're excited. The show is actually in Norwalk, which is about an hour away from here. But nonetheless, Dan's coming to visit me. I'm excited. And we're gonna see some live Wizard Rock, including the Butterbeer Experience. And so a small taste of that for your listening pleasure now will be the song that made everybody cry. It's called Lullaby, and it's by the Butterbeer Experience. We hope you like it.
Make sure to have your box of tissues with you.
Yes, tissues required for this one.
Close your eyes, the day is done. Hello, moon, goodbye, sun. Count the hours as they fly on by. No more night, there's only dreams, though our situation seems dire. We're safe tonight in Godric's
that love. just be glad the fourth track was broke that day. Because you grabbed a guitar and I heard you say that the top of the pops better get ready for the new hit single from the Weasley goes Romilda Vane. I love you.
And that was We Save Ron's Life Part 8 by Harry and the Potters. So I don't know how many of you guys know of Potterfic Weekly, but that is the theme song from Potterfic Weekly, and we are affiliated with Potterfic Weekly. They're a podcast based pretty much just around fan fiction, and that's where Julia and I actually met.
It's true. We both really love fan fiction, and Potterfic Weekly actually is the podcast that brought us together. We love you, Pufwa.
So if you want to join our forum, it's actually their forum, but go to www.potterficforum.com. You won't regret it. It'll be the best choice you've ever made. It's like its own community. It's like its own town, as they said in the last podcast.
Yes, that is true. It's got everybody on there is all lovely and happy, and we all love each other very much. And so we would really love for you to join us over there. And we have our own little common room. So if you want to ignore the rest of the forum and just hang out in the Pwncast section, that's totally okay. Just let Ryan know. Ryan is the head of PFW, and he will give you access to our common room, and you can hang out in there and have some fun times. We're playing a couple of games in there, including like speak in Wizard Rock song titles and one line at a time and name that tune Rock style. It's good times. So definitely check us out over there.
Now, Julia, living in New England, you recently went to the Yule Ball, correct?
I did. Oh, the Yule Ball. Okay, I feel like I should clarify because there were a couple of Yule Balls this year. There was one in Philadelphia, and there was one in Toronto, and there were two in Boston. Unfortunately, I did not get to make
neither Julia or I could make the Philadelphia one, but she did get to see the New England one. The Boston.
That's true. I have actually religious obligations on Saturdays, and so unfortunately I was unable to make the first Boston Yule Ball, but I did go to the second one, and the second Boston Yule Ball was absolutely amazing. It was just incredible. The lineup of bands that they had for that show, it was in the Middle East. I don't know if any of you guys have ever heard of the Middle East. It's a club in Boston, and it's totally amazing. And if you're ever in Boston and you have a chance to see a Wizard Rock show there, totally do it. So it was in the Middle East, and the lineup of bands was just incredible. The Remus and the Lupins opened the show, and I don't know if any of you guys know who Remus and the Lupins actually is, and if you
don't know,
I'm not telling you. It's a surprise. But basically, it's a guy who wears an elf mask and sings in the mask, and he's wonderful. He's got the song called Expecto Patronum. It's really funny. I suggest that you all check him out. So let's see, who was after Remus and the Lupins? Then came Math the Band. And I don't know if any of you guys have heard of Math the Band. They're not a Wizard Rock band, but I enjoyed them. I found their dancing a little spastic, but their music was okay. It was very high energy. So if you are into very, very high energy spastic dancing, you should check out Math the Band. After Math the Band was, this was already like a couple weeks ago. I'm already starting to forget who played. Math the Band, Potter Puppet Pals. Ah, this was so cool. Okay, so Neil Sosiega of the Potter Puppet Pals, yes, lives in Boston, and he came with his sister and with the stage and with the puppets, and they did a live performance of the Potter Puppet Pals at the Yule Ball. And holy God, it was amazing. Absolutely, like, the coolest thing ever. Like, they brought out the stage, and they put up the little blue curtain, and the screaming from the audience was just ridiculous. Like, it was amazing. So, yay, Potter Puppet Pals. It was very, very cool. Let me see. After the Potter Puppet Pals was... Uncle Monsterface. And Uncle Monsterface is also not a wizard rock band, but they were okay. They opened the show with the opening prayer, which was actually a cover of Like a Prayer. And that was pretty cool. And also, they do have one wizard rock song, which is called In My Room of Requirement, It's Always Christmas. And that song is on A Magical Christmas of Magic. So if you, you should check that out. Yeah, they were okay. And after them was, surprise, special secret, the Whomping Willows, who were not supposed to play that night, played. And yes, oh Julia, man, Matt Giacomo was awesome.
Julia was lamenting to me the fact that since she could not go the day before, that she would get to miss Matt. So she was very pleasantly surprised.
I was thrilled. I found out literally, like, as we were waiting to get into the building, they had a playlist, or not a playlist, they had the list of the bands, like, posted on the door, and I saw, surprise guest, the Whomping Willows, and I got very excited and started jumping up and down and squeeing on the street in Boston. That was always good fun. So Matt was incredible. He only played three songs, but the three songs that he played were very cool, and he played, the last song he did was Draco and Harry, and Draco and the Malfoys actually came on stage and joined him for that. That was really, really freaking awesome.
Did he do the Dumbledore and Grindelwald?
He did. In the Matt has recently taken to singing at the end when he's like, you know, it's Draco and Harry sitting in a tree. At the end, first he goes, it's Dumbledore and Grindelwald sitting in a tree. S-N-O-G-G-I-N-G. And it's very cool. The audience always goes nuts when that happens. And by the way, after the show, I spoke to Matt and I told him that Albus and Gellert would fit better in the rhythm. And he thought about it for a second. He was like, yeah, but I wanted people to know what the hell I was talking about. So Dumbledore and Grindelwald won. And I was like, all right, that worked. So that was very cool. And let me see who played after the Whomping Willows. Oh, Draco and the Malfoys. I don't know if you guys have ever seen them live, but oh God. They are incredible. Brian and Bradley, they're brothers, and they, you know, they jump around and act like brothers on stage, and it's very cool.
And they have a Muggle band that you saw recently too, right?
They do have a Muggle band also. It's called Coffee Milk Children, and they're very good. They're very funny. They sing about pirates, so check them out. Let me see. One not cool thing that happened during their set was that there were like easily 550 people in that building, and it was crowded and it was hot. And one guy actually passed out in the middle of their set. And I felt like Brian and Brad looked traumatized. They stopped the show and they were like, you know, clear a path, like base. And they just stopped the show until he was taken care of. And that was really nice. I feel like that really just kind of like epitomizes Wizard Rock. Cause I know a lot of like mainstream bands probably wouldn't have done that, but Brian and Brad are awesome and they did do that, so that was very cool. Let's see, after Draco and the Malfoys was Harry and the Potters, and they closed the show and they were freaking amazing. I had never seen them live before, but oh wow, they're just incredible. Let me see, why are Harry and the Potters awesome? Harry and the Potters are awesome because by this point, it was kind of late because they weren't expecting Potter Puppet Pals. They weren't expecting Whomping Willows. They had a lot of bands that played for quite some time. And Harry and the Potters, their set lasted an hour and a half. They were playing Save Ginny Weasley from Dean Thomas. And middle of that song, they had us all chanting pizza, 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 pizza. And then like magically pizza appeared. Like magic. Harry and the Potters sprang for pizza for the 550 people that were in the room. And slice, except for me, I didn't have one because you know, pizza's not kosher, issue with that.
Yes, but Julia is the resident Jew here.
Yeah, I'm the resident Jew. I keep kosher, so I didn't have a slice of the pizza. But oh my God, they sprang for pizza for 550 people. Like that alone makes Harry and the Potters the most awesome people ever to walk the face of the earth. So, huzzah, Yule Ball. It was totally fun. I loved it. I can't wait for the next one. I'm done monologuing now. I'm just going to drink some water.
All right, so we've got two more songs lined up for you. The second one of which actually played at the U Bowl. First off, we've got Accio Love by the Ministry of Magic, and second is 99 Death Eaters by Draco and the Malfoy. Enjoy.
Oh, we should say that Accio Love by the Ministry of Magic actually features the Moaning Myrtles. So the female voices, that would be the Moaning Myrtles.
Start to feel the magic within. While Harry is fighting he who must not be named, they talk of the latest Quidditch game.
Chocolate frogs with the money we've got, set them free, but they don't last long. They're good for one jump, then they're done. At the base of my spine, I get a tingling sense. Something evil is about to commence. Under cover of a darkened sky, 99 Death Eaters go by. Under cover of a darkened sky, the ministry's on red alert.
There's something here from somewhere else. The auras all spring to life. Moody opens up his eye and focusing it on the sky. As 99 Death Eaters go by. 99 Decision Street, 99 ministers meet. To worry, worry, super scurry. Call the mentors in a hurry. This is what we've waited for. This is it, boys, this is war. Cornelius Fudge is on the line. It's 99 Death Eaters go by. 99 Knights of the Air ride their magic fire bolts. Everyone's a superhero. Everyone's a Ludo Bagman with orders to identify, clarify, and classify. Scramble in the darkened sky as 99 Death Eaters go by. 99 Death Eaters go by. Dark marks floating in the air. It's all over and I'm standing pretty in what used to be this city. If I could find something tragic just to prove there once was magic. And here is a chocolate frog. I think of you and let it go.
All right, Julia and I have a little bit of a bone to pick. Back in November, MTV came out with a top 10 list of Wizard Rock bands. Not cool at all.
Not at all.
The whole point of Wizard Rock is that it's a community. Everybody, there's no animosity whatsoever. Nobody wants to be judged. Nobody is judged. They're all awesome. MTV's top 10 list kind of undermined that. And plus, nothing against any of the bands on there, because they're all great. But where was Christian? Where was Lena? Where was any of the other good bands? You can't do a top 10 list of Wizard Rock.
No, you just can't. I mean, there's so many bands, and they're all so different. I mean, you cannot compare, you know, the Remus Lupins to, say, the Unspeakables. And they're so different. So if you're going to do top 10 Wizard Rock list, you would have to do, you know, top 10 Wizard Rock indie bands, top 10 Wizard Rock rock bands, top 10.
Well, you can't really do that.
And you can't even do that. Like, you can't do it. It just undermines the entire spirit of this community. Like, you know, and who is that one reporter from MTV to say which bands are awesome, you know?
Especially when she knows nothing about Wizard Rock beyond what she experienced in interviewing these 10 bands.
Right. I mean, there's just that list has no basis in reality, and it's don't do it. So that's the moral that we're trying to get across here. In the event that you find the need to make a list of top 10 Wizard Rock bands and share it with the world, don't do it. It's just pointless.
I mean, we all know that we have our top 10 lists in our mind, but that's all right. I mean, I have my favorites. Julia has her favorites. You have your favorites. But who is anybody to write a top 10 definitive list on Wizard Rock? It's impossible.
Yeah. It's impossible and it's silly, so don't do it. Don't try this at home, kids. It only has disastrous results.
Warning, may be hazardous to your health.
Exactly. May definitely be hazardous to your health. Don't do it. So, okay, I think, are we done being angry now? Because I don't really want to be angry anymore.
Yes,
happiness is my default position.
Yay, we're done being angry, okay?
Woo-hoo. Yay!
All right.
I feel better now.
Okay. Back when Julia first recommended Wizard Rock to me in October, the Parson Mouths were one of the first bands she suggested. And this is one of our favorite songs of theirs. Quidditch is my favorite sport. Enjoy.
don't care about baseball, and soccer makes me snore. I find golf to be dreary, and football is a bore. I'd rather go do girl things, 'cause I think sports are lame. But I never ever miss a Quidditch game. What the heck is a quaffle? Rude to stare, but I just have no shame, so I never ever miss a Quidditch game.
Four plumber worms, three vulture hats, two homework helpers, and a lecture all about the ministry.
That was 12 Days of Wizard Christmas by Gretton Forge. Okay. It is after Christmas, I know that. But we just have to express our love for Jingle Spells.
Yay, Jingle Spells.
I mean, how awesome is it that the Leaky Cauldron put together this amazing compilation of songs and donated every proceed to charity?
It's pretty damn awesome, I have to say so myself.
Oh yeah, you cannot find a weak song in any of those tracks on that CD.
No,
that's
you really can't.
How amazing it is. If you haven't already bought it, it's on iTunes. I know it's after the Christmas season, but go out and buy it. You won't regret it.
Yeah, buy it anyway. The proceeds go to charity. Which charity do they go to? I can't remember. I want to say, no, is it Bookgate International?
Let me look it up.
Yeah, let's do that.
Monologue in the meantime.
Okay, in the meantime. The proceeds of this all go to charity, and it's such a great album. I mean, and it's got really, really some great bands on it. Gretton Forge, obviously, you just heard. Harry and the Potters, Draco and the Malfoys, the Remus Lupins, the Hermione Crookshanks Experience, Ginny and the Heartbreakers, Oliver Boyd and the Rememberalls, Catch Love, who else? The Moaning Myrtles, the Parcel Mouths, Ministry of Magic. There are many, many great bands, and all the songs are really awesome. A lot of them are filks. For example, Voldy Baby by the Parcel Mouths, or Rockin' Around the Bathroom Stall.
And Oh Holy Night with an E.
And Oh Holy Night with an E. Those are filks. And there's also some original ones like
It's Snowing. You know,
Christmas Rules, Voldemort Rules by Harry and the Potters, or It's Snowing by Catch Love, or Happy Christmas Day by Oliver Boyd and the Rememberalls.
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned one yet.
Hmm?
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned one of the original ones yet.
Did I say Christmas with the Weasleys by the Remus Lupins?
That's the one I was talking about.
Oh, how well you know me. So, yes, check it out. Am I done monologuing now? Did you find the charity yet?
Every penny from the leakycauldron.org, every penny of profit on this album will be donated to Book Aid International to aid in their efforts to install libraries in the places of the world that need them most.
So, yes.
So, yeah, it's for a great cause.
We approve of Book Aid International. Also, you know what else is cool? Is that when the Leaky staffers met Jo in New York, they gave her a copy of Jingle Spells. So, if you buy this album, you will be listening to the same music that Jo Rowling does. Oh, I shouldn't say that because I don't know if she listens to it, but I know that she has it. So, that's cool.
Well, I'm sure she'd probably listen to it once. At least.
I'm sure she listened to it at least once. Hopefully she listened to it more than that because, you know, yay.
Yes, from her interviews on Pottercast, it seems very much like she's the kind of person who would not be opposed to it at all.
Not at all.
And if you haven't listened to those interviews yet, go to Pottercast and download the interviews. They are awesome.
Yes, seriously. Like, what are you waiting for if you haven't heard them yet? It's very cool. I mean, for Jo, like, in the same week that she was being named on a list with, like, Putin and other important people, sitting down with Melissa, John, and Sue and being like, this better not be about house elves. Like, Jo, there is absolutely nothing about that woman that I don't just adore. And, you know, I try not to worship the ground she walks on because that would be blasphemy. However, I've come close a couple of times. I adore Jo.
Yeah, she's down to earth, and that's just amazing for somebody who wrote such an amazing book series that changed so many lives.
Exactly.
All right, we're down to our last two normal songs. After these songs, after these songs, stay tuned for a couple really cool segments. We've got a story and a song in which Julia is going to be reading a fic. Which one is that again?
Our fic for this week is called Rapper by Calyxa. You can find it over on phoenixsong.net.
And then we'll be playing a song.
And then we'll be playing a song.
Or yeah, based this, around the one shot.
This segment is our ode to our parent podcast, Potterfic Weekly, because, you know, Dan and I both really love fanfic, and fanfic is what brought us together and started us off on this whole adventure. So our weekly homage to that is going to be story and a song, in which we will read a one-shot and then play a song which sort of relates to it. So we hope that you guys will like that as much as we do. And what's our second segment, Dan?
It's called A Muggle's Alternative to Wizard Rock. Pretty much, I will be analyzing a Muggle song and a Wizard song and how they relate. Up this week, we've got Ben Folds' Landing, which you can definitely tell the Ben Folds influence in the On the Moaning Myrtles, especially in their song The Boy Who Lived. So stay tuned for that. Our final two regular songs, however, are Freedom Is Only a Hippogriff Away by the Mudbloods. The Mudbloods are just amazing. They're like no other wizard band out there. If you have, if you listen to Jingle Spells, make sure to listen to How the Thestrals Save Christmas. It's hilarious.
Oh, it really is. And they're awesome.
And of course, we're closing with who else? Knowing Julia, Looking for Trouble by the Remus Lupins.
You guys don't understand. One of my goals in life is to be on stage with Alex Carpenter to do the bop-bops during this song. So, Alex, if you're listening, I would really like for that to happen. Just saying. Also, just so that you guys know, one of my personal goal for Pwncast is to have a Remus Lupin song in every episode. And so far, I'm one for one. So, we're good so far. So, yay, Remus Lupins. Yay, Pwncast. Yay, Mudbloods. Thanks. So we hope you guys like these last two songs.
Yep. Thanks for listening. And stay tuned for two great segments.
A hippogriff's come flying in the morning and leave me here alone. And if I wait here long enough to meet them, I know my time is done. Flying in the sky, I'll be singing hallelujahs out loud. I'll spread my arms and feel the winds are blowing. I'll laugh loud and raise my arms. Ooh, ooh. And with a little bit of love, Drive.
summer at the borough with my girl. We'll go and look at trouble. We're gonna finish this time around. We'll go and look at trouble. We're gonna finish this once and for. Headwind with me. When the ready, Ron and Hermione, we'll go and look out of trouble. We're gonna finish this once and all. We'll go and look out. Gotta finish this time around. Though before we had our reasons, this time it's personal. You can pretend that you don't care, but I know you cry. Can trouble. We're gonna finish this once and for all. We'll go and look at trouble. We gotta finish this this time around. Look out for trouble. We gotta finish this once and for all.
Hello, everyone. It's Julia back again for Story and a Song, the segment in which we read a story and play a song. Ha! Huh, look at that. So this week's story is called Rapper by Calyxa, and I'm going to read it now, so I hope you like it. Rapper. His gran had never been a patient woman. These days, she was even less so. The prospect of Voldemort's return to power made her anxious, fearful. Though she never would admit it openly, he could sense her fear. It penetrated every little gesture, every sharp comment, until he felt overwhelmed and confused by it. That weekend, they had went to visit his mom and dad, and they brought no one, not even Trevor. Neville was glad of that. He liked the sense of detachment that brought the feeling that he was for a few hours. Going to be away from all the horror that Hogwarts seemed to be so full of these days, he would just be with his parents. Neville didn't know what was going on in the world at that precise moment, but he felt the fear. He knew from the peer at him around corners in the Hogwarts halls and from the DA's frequent meetings that there was something sinister brewing on the horizon. "Hurry up, Neville, we're going to be late," snapped his grandmother, and he quickened his pace to keep up with her. Although she was elderly and he had gained quite a bit of height on her, Gran could still outwalk him if she desired to. On this occasion, it seemed, she did. Not that he didn't like visiting his parents. As painful as it was, Neville looked forward to seeing them on every visit. It was almost Christmas, too, which meant he was bringing them both gifts. Nothing expensive, just pleasant little everyday things that would make their lives a little more interesting. An alarm clock shaped like a robin for his mother that sang a sweet melody when wound up. Gran was always telling him how much his mom loved birds. Neville remembered. He also remembered that his father was a fan of Muggle radio broadcast. He clutched the little plastic bag in his hot, sweaty hands, wondering if they'd purchased enough batteries to keep the radio going until their next visit, which wouldn't be until Easter, maybe later. It didn't bother Neville that much when he presented both gifts to his parents and neither of them reacted. His mother started humming, though, while staring at the robin clock, and stroked it like it was a real bird. His Gran fussed over the state of their sheets and threatened to report a complaint until Neville's father, frightened by Gran's yelling, tried to the sheets, presumably to block out her voice. She calmed down then, was civil again, and even said a few pleasant words to the healer in charge. Eventually, however, it was time to go. "Oh, Mrs. Longbottom, are you leaving already?" asked the healer, smiling graciously. Gran nodded. Neville kept quiet. What he hadn't expected to see was Harry Potter, of all people, to be there, his head snapping around to stare at Neville. Harry Potter, Ron Weasley, and Hermione Granger, even Ginny Weasley, whose freckled face Neville could see clearly from where he stood. Ron yelled out his name, sounding pleased to see him, something that puzzled Neville tremendously. "Why are they here?" he wondered, feeling shaken by the unforeseen meeting. Gran looked back, politely inquired as to who they were, and Neville could feel his face drain of blood. He could not look into anyone's eyes, nor could he find a voice to speak with. And Gran went around shaking all of their hands, reeling off their names as she did so. He saw the look of surprise that Hermione assumed when Gran descended on her, claiming to have heard all about her. Neville almost couldn't bear the awkward glances they gave him as they greeted his grandmother, obviously embarrassed to discover he'd mentioned them to her. Neville supposed it was also partly guilt, because he had a feeling they'd never mentioned him to their parents. "He's a good boy," she said, casting a look that was nearly fond, but more sternly approving at him. "He hasn't got his father's talent, I'm afraid to say." "What?" said Ron, his eyes widening. He found himself frozen to the spot, immobile, much like the time Hermione had cast a full body bind on him in order to proceed to save the Philosopher's Stone from Voldemort. Smarted from that incident, still felt himself utterly stupid and undeserving of those 10 house points. Courage to stand up for your friends, he thought, the words repeating themselves in his mind round and round. What courage was there but idiocy? "Is that your dad down the end, Neville?" asked Ron, taken aback. Neville's insides flooded with ice. He couldn't bring himself to speak. What could he say? How could he explain what he'd kept hidden for so long? He didn't have to, for his Gran spoke up next, her voice edged. Neville looked up at the ceiling, at a spot just left of the quivering beak of the stuffed vulture that sat trembling on her hat. "What's this? Haven't you told your friends about your parents, Neville?" Neville concentrated on that part of the ceiling, and everything felt so far away and faint. He could feel 5 pairs of eyes focused on him, their intensities boring through the distance into his skin. They were waiting for an answer, for admittance, for his confession. Neville had nothing to confess, so he shook his head. "There's nothing to be ashamed of!" She was angry at him, disgusted. She usually was, and Neville was used to it. "You should be proud, Neville! Proud!" She went on, but Neville did not hear her. He lowered his eyes, pretending no one could see his embarrassment but himself. He was never good at lying, and when he did lie to himself, he never succeeded. Neville swallowed, avoiding the gazes of his friends, feeling their pity consume him alive. He bore it, though. He bore it hard and fast and never let it go because it was what kept him afloat. Amid cheering and taunts and fearful grandmothers who spoke sternly down to him, these moments of self-pity, of knowing that the only way to know you're alive is to bleed for it or have someone else bleed for you. But no one bled for Neville. He bled for himself. "I'm not ashamed," he whispered. And he always whispered to himself, again and again, proving it true. Neville was not ashamed. He was not ashamed of having parents who'd bravely fought Voldemort, parents who'd given their all to defend what was just. What Neville was ashamed of was his own lack of skill, his own wavering determination. Neville was ashamed of his tears, ashamed of his sleepless nights and dreams of blood and screaming, waking up with sweat dripping down his face and the words "Mummy" and "Daddy" unspoken on his lips. Neville was ashamed of himself. "Well, you've got a funny way of showing it." Gran's old face scowled down at him, and she turned to the others, her features flushed and haughty. Neville held himself loosely. He did not know what to do with himself. His ears roared with noise only he could hear, as Gran told them in one breath all the things he had been unable to say in 5 years. "Be proud, Neville." He felt broken. He felt like someone had taken a hammer and shattered his body to pieces with it. He was too stunned to put them back together, and he was afraid that they would not fit if he tried. When his mother shuffled forward, her eyes blank and vacant in their pale, thin face, he thought that maybe the shards would cut him up and there was nothing left of Neville Longbottom but a broken, bloody corpse. She pushed timidly towards him, her gestures oddly fragmented. Words pooled on her lips but did not quite emerge, and Neville tried to see if he could fight back the tears that never came. He stretched out his hand without having to be told to, because this had happened before, every year and every visit. She dropped an empty candy wrapper into his hand. Drubal's best blowing gum, the bright red wrapper shiny and new. It looked a lot like the wrapper for his old favorite, Bernie bought Strawberry Nougat, which had gone off production for 6 years now. Of course, his mom could never know that, and every year she gave him a shiny red wrapper, and every year Neville accepted it. "Thanks, Mum," he said quietly, and she moved away, oblivious once more, humming a little tune that he recognized as familiar but did not know by name. No one spoke, but they'd all seen. They didn't laugh. They wouldn't laugh, and Neville knew that, but he glared at them, defiant. A part of him wanted them to laugh, to wipe away some of that unbearable pity he was used to. He wanted to erase this moment, to pretend that it had never happened. If they laughed, it wouldn't matter. But no one laughed, and no one would forget that they hadn't, that it hadn't been funny. He could see pity in Hermione's eyes, the sympathy in Harry's. He could feel the horror that Ginny's eyes reflected and the mortification Ron tried to hide. Neville could see it all, feel it all. He'd felt it before, 10 times worse. He turned away from the others and despised them a little for having witnessed his shame all these years. He hated them a little for never knowing who he was. Neville slid his hand into his pocket as he followed his grandmother out of the room, feeling the flimsy weight of the wrapper between his fingers, a reminder of the one thing in his life that he was not ashamed of. So that was that. I hope you liked it. And now it's time for the song part of Story in a Song. And this week's song is called "I'll Make It Through" by the Quaffle Kids. And it's an angsty Neville song. And I really like it, and I hope that you will too. So enjoy.
It never seems to end, the embarrassing things I do. Like that very first time I lost Trevor in the school. The monster book of monsters, yeah, it attacked me. But what can you expect from a kid with buck teeth? Yeah, a kid with buck teeth. I know I'm not the best wizard here at the Hogwarts school, but I'll try my best, I'll try my best. I know I'm not the best wizard here at the Hogwarts school, but with my friends I'll make it through. Yeah, with my friends I'll make it through. My Grinch, she really scares the junk bombs out of me. She has a grand idea of who I ought to be. I finally had some good luck while in the DA. My confidence is rising, except when I'm with Snape, except when I'm with Snape. I know I'm not the best wizard here at the Hogwarts school, but I'll try my best, I'll try my best. I know I'm not the best wizard here at the Hogwarts school, but with my friends I'll make it through. Yeah, with my friends I'll make it through.
Hi guys, this is Dan, and I'm back with the Muggles' Alternative to Wizard Rock. Each week I'm going to be giving you a song from a mainstream band and one from a wizard rock band. And we'll see how the mainstream band has influenced the wizard rock band's music and the similarities therein. For this week's Muggle song, we've got Ben Folds' Landing for you. This is a relatively simply orchestrated song, with a prominent piano-based melody, background drums, and slight bass guitar backing. Make sure to listen to the syncopation of the piano. In many parts of the song, the upbeats, rather than the downbeats, are emphasized. With those things in mind, here's Landed by Ben Folds.
Weed at the bottom, I thought it was my fault. And in a way, I guess it was. I'm just now finding out what it was all about. We moved to the West Coast, away from everyone. She never told me that you called. Back when I was still in love. Till I opened landed.
After listening, you may have an idea of who the Wizard Rock Band is going to be. If you guessed the Moaning Myrtles, give yourself a point. As you listen to their song, The Boy Who Lived, make sure to pay attention to the similarities, including the upbeat syncopation and the fact that this is a piano-based track. Unlike the Ben Folds song, there is no bass guitar, but piano, just piano and drums. But the resemblance and the influence is undeniable. Also, be aware of how, like Landed, The Boy Who Lived accelerates from a slower adagio tempo to a faster allegro tempo all the way to the end. Enjoy The Boy Who Lived by the Moaning Myrtles.
Mr. and Mrs. Dursley of number 4 Privet Drive were proud to say that they were perfectly normal.
Thank you very much.
They were the last people you'd expect to be involved with anything strange or mysterious, because they didn't hold in such much.
This concludes the first episode of Pwncast. Yay.
Yay.
All right. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Next week, we've got a special treat for you. Cody will be joining us, first of all. As Julia said before, she's awesome. Just wait to meet her. Second of all, we've got an awesome interview for you lined up.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy that one.
We're not going to tell you who it is because we don't want to ruin the surprise, but we promise that you'll like it.
For Julia and Dan, this is the first episode of Pwncast. Goodbye, guys.
Bye.
Buttons and t-shirts. We get to socialize with the rock.